Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself for the work for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, just to set the issue before we highlight the aspect of today's instruction that I think God is asking us to do, I will actually be dealing with working for the souls of men. Working for the souls of men. That's what we are going to highlight out of that passage. But may I quickly bring forth from that Bible verse some few things that we can quickly push aside as peripheral issues, and yet they are very critical for us to do well. The first thing I saw, and which I want to just commend to you, is that even without us soliciting for obedience, even without us soliciting for men to submit to our leadership, this is needed for us to discharge our duty very, very effectively. God has already undertaken to handle that on our behalf. God has already put in place, not only in this Bible verse, but in so many other verses of the scripture, to make sure that men do not interfere with the discharge of our mandate. And if anybody tries to interfere with it, you can be sure that God has not let them. God has stood, God has defended us, and to them all the time. You remember God will say, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." God is the one that will go ahead. I remember when Aaron and Miriam gathered people together and they were speaking against Moses. They were saying, "Is he the only man of God? Is he the only one that the Spirit of God uses?" Moses did not need to talk yet when the Lord Almighty appeared and called them. He summoned Miriam, he summoned Aaron, he said, "Why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, who is the meekest of all men, the man with whom I speak mouth to mouth?" So the first thing I'm making here is that God is doing everything possible to make your leadership mandate easily discharged. Why is God doing that? Thou, O man of God, that you will not have any excuse on the day of reckoning. Why is God going ahead to instruct, to obey your leaders, to be good, spiritual leaders, submit to them continually, recognizing the authority over you? Why? So that the ministry of working over the souls of men could be made easy. If God has done that, we have no excuse not to do well. So can I tell you what that means? On the day of accounting, you will not be able to stand before God and say, "Oh God, the reason why I did not discharge my ministry well is because my church members are difficult. My church members, they did not obey me." God says, don't say that. Don't go that way. Don't do that at all. Anybody who disobeys you, I discipline. Anybody who sat in their room to baptize against you, I bless them. In order to make the ministry of mercy so easy, whenever the people passed in the city and they were never against him, the Lord will appear. Do you know that one third of them died in their presence? It was because they murmured against Moses. And God said, "Why are you not afraid that you are murmuring against my father?" The protection that God provides, the immunity that God provides for his father, for them to be able to discharge their ministry well, is a debt for accountability. So please mark that. So may I just note that when you look at the way God speaks, and I say not only in this verse, but in so many other verses, you see God saying, "You younger, submit to your leaders in the Lord." What again did God? Was God doing in order to make our ministry possible? Look at it. He says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they work for yourselves a day that must give account, that they may do it with God." Again, did you see what God was doing? God was making sure that the environment of our ministry, the environment of the discharge of our mandate, is a joyful environment. Can you imagine God going ahead to instruct the people and say, "Look, submit yourself. Don't make your life difficult. Let them have joy ministering to you. Let them have joy working over your soul." God was making sure that even this stewardship over the faith of man is creating a joyful, a conducive atmosphere for us to do service. So that when you'll be giving account, you may be able to say, "God, the reason why I could not do well is that the world and environment was a problem. I actually don't have any job. I work out family. I keep coming because the people don't just want it." That's why don't do that. Don't say that. Don't say that. I trust them to make your condition comfortable. And instructed them. You know that there are many instructions that God gave such members that sometimes I'm sitting and saying, "God, God, you are instructing such members so that we will do well." Remember what he said to them? He said, "If a man has ministered to you spiritually, what is deep in you, ministering to him, what? Your spiritual happiness. So that is why you see, Pastor, whenever the people went to farm, and it's time for harvest, the silent young in their farm, what do they bring it up? They bring it to church. When they bring it to church, where does he find an elephant? You see, when their goats are grown so well, and they are looking at us, this big, big goat, when they want us to step and eat it, something will talk to them and say, why do you dishonor the Lord? Honor the Lord with the first week of all your cattle and all. And then they will tie the neck, and they are dragging it, dragging it, dragging it, dragging it, and then they will tie it in your compound. And then they will come in, and they say, sir, in obedience to the word of God, and in recognition of your ministry in our lives, these our goats have produced this one, and we thought it's meant for you. And they will call Mama, they said, and this is the sheep for it. They will also bring an envelope with some money to put sheep on top of it, and they will bring some people of yam, they said, so that they can pan yam. God has instructed his members to make your ministry conducive. You cannot be eating the first fruit. You cannot be collecting the dust and not do well. Every time you are eating those things, please don't say, I tell you, not eating for them. Every time you are eating meat, don't forget. Don't forget. You are adding to your accountability. Heaven is nodding his head and saying, yeah, let him eat it. You will meet us back here.
What does God do that?
So that you may do it with God. Can you imagine? Until recently, if you are passing on the road, and policemen were stopping people checkpoints, and once they saw you in the clerical dress, or they saw your family, they said, "Pledge you." What did the policeman do? He said, "Welcome, sir. Pray for us." The vehicle that is directly behind you, "You, come there. My Lord, God bless you, sir."
What is God doing there? Stand for us.
The distrust of our mandate might be in a conducive atmosphere. We may do it with God. I believe that there are so many, many glorious things that God has made available to us. So that we might do it with God.
See, the Holy Spirit is pointing to the first members. In that number, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. God is telling the members, don't let the man of God run at you. You will not be profited by that. So can we imagine how God has so much protected us that the people, because they don't want to run into damage, they don't want to make a problem for their life, they want profit for their life. See how they guide against any clash with us. How each one of them are very careful that you will not be aggrieved against them, because they know that when you do it with grief, they will not be profited. How did God do all of it? So that you might be able to avoid the unity, to focus on your coming without the fast. Now, God has done all of this for one singular purpose, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for me. This Bible verse I'm reading, you can put it in different places. You will see God talking in the Timothy church in such a people. The elders that are serving, they are worthy of double honor. So, may I submit to you that the atmosphere, the environment, the conditions of our ministry, God has taken care of, so that on the day of accountability, there will be no reason to say, I couldn't do well because of this, because of this, because of this. God will stand up and say, no, sir, don't say that. I actually instructed the people, and those who violated it, I punished them. Those who took me for granted, I dealt with them. Those who misbehaved themselves, I did not allow them to sleep in the night. What did that worry about? Are you a so-called child? No. It's because I want you to discharge your mandate accurately, experimentally, and with right purpose. So, how do you get with all of those things that you are doing this past year? May I find out, has God not made your ministry, the good part of your liberty, has God not done as much as possible to make it conducive? Have you done so? Please, let me hear your voice. Okay. So the only thing that we know now is for us to face our call. The only thing that remains now is for us to look at how to discharge it, and discharge it to first business. So I will now take that picture now at death with the territory. I'm no more concerned about what God says to those people. I'm concerned about what we were brought into leadership to do with. Obey your future leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over yourselves and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will start to render an account of their trust. Now, I just want to, I read this and amplify that because I want to see if we could amplify the little words that can bring our truth, but they work for your souls. And when you use the word, they work for your souls, as though they must give account. The word work, what does it actually imply? Working for the soul of man. There are few scriptures that we will be dealing with that will bring this out before I will draw more wisdom from the third Corinthians and the ministry of Paul that the Lord has already introduced to us this morning. The word work itself will be defined as a diligent sensitivity to take note of the minute details of movement, of any kind of activity around an object that is valuable. Please take note of what I said. The word left. If God is talking about, I'll set you as a workman. If you call it speaking, why you put a man as a workman? Do you put a man on a work over something that is not valuable? If, for example, look at this stones that are scattered around here. Will you particularly tell somebody I told, keep working this stone? What's it? Will you make sense? Where will you say to yourself, hey, where is he going? What is the stone going that you're asking me to work it? So the word what? The intensity of working, the sensitivity of taking the note of the focus movement or any activity around an object that demands working must be because of the value of it. So let us note that we will not work properly if we do not know what is the value of where we are to work. I don't know whether I'm certain. Well, you cannot work an adjutant. Please, what did this paper back say for me? What is Daniel? What is? Keep working in next year, nothing goes wrong with it. How long will you be able to do it? The trouble is that the first thing in my mind is what is in the next paper back say? To what? Once she has determined in her mind that the thing is not as valuable, her attitude to working it changes. Am I correct? But let's imagine that as we bring a very costly laptop with an envelope containing about 150,000 naira. And I tell my teacher, I am quickly going to that other side. What this thing for me? The same person that I asked to watch waste paper basket, I'm not asking her to help me watch a very costly laptop and 150,000 that I'm just put together. And I said, please watch it for me. Quickly back from out there and coming back. Now we see what? When everybody is moving around, what does he do? He will sit down there, they gradually start, and must watch it. So the thing of a workman can never be higher than the value in his money to what he was mandated to work. Are we together? So the first matter today, before you will be able to discharge your ministry effectively, so that you will be given account accurately, you can only begin if you have a correct value for the value of a truth. It is the valuation or the value you put on a soul that ultimately determines how you define your ministry. You cannot be working for the truth of love the way God is demanding and to it the value of your soul. That was strikes you. It is the value of the soul of men under earth that we may first of all understand. If you are going to minister with accountability in you, maybe one of the things that is making things a bit difficult is that maybe quietly we do not value the status of women higher than our church building. I want you to be open to me this morning. We need to repeat why we have engaged most of our time, most of our administration, most of our ministry time, most of our empathy. We do what has made us to spend more time and administrative things, material, money, and stuff. No duty. I'm saying maybe I'm not getting it. Just want to suggest. Could it be that these things are more valuable to us than the souls of men? Could it be that men are only members? We are only 20 members. And simply because it has mentioned our statistics. In later 50 years, now I am a big minister over 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 members. To take a time that when we come to a local church, we are only concerned with a member of it. Yes, I'm an evangelist. And once we get members, and we quickly use that to multiply time and effort, we think that greater church of it than God. So what of the building? Maybe the first thing that we must do is, if we are going to give proper account, is to be able to know the value of the source. If I really pray that the Holy Spirit might bring to me and you in the course of this time, such that our attitude to ministry will immediately change because we are now looking at the value of the soul. We are going to spend a bit of time thinking if we can define not just what's going on, if we can define the value of souls. And I want to undertake to do that very simply and quickly within the space of time we have before we deal with how do we work for the face of men as men who will give account for them. Let's begin by looking at the value of God. Himself as truth the control of men. Let's look at what has God put as a value upon the strength of men. Since I am trusting that I can depend on your Bible knowledge, I will not be fasting and fasting because of space of time. I will just be speaking the things that I believe you already know. Go with me. Go with me. So, the book of Matthew, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And verse 25, 26. 25, 26. Matthew 16. But who said that? We pray this one for little. And who said that? We use this one for my children. For angry. So what is a man profited? It is a gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what can a man do in exchange for his soul? Let's spend a bit of time looking at verse 26 in order to see Jesus' own value, the valuation he's putting upon souls of men. By asking us to what? He says, what is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. From that statement, what do you understand by that? As he could say, the entire whole world, if it were possible for somebody to gain the whole world with all the mineral resources, with all the abundant things, economic things that are in the whole world, apart from the land that appreciates every year, and Jesus was saying, what does he profit a man? He begins to have a and he listens to his own soul. So, what does that mean? When you put one soul on a scale, on a balance, and you put the whole resources of the whole world on the other side of the scale, which one we are willing? The soul. Let me ask you. Does a soul value more than everything in this house? Eh? Talk to me, please. If a soul still takes and we have the entire this house, have you not got it? Was God going to congratulate me that a soul got lost? But just like that, there are many things to say. I'm asking a question. Talk to me first. When God says, that all, we did not suffer that. Will God say that? So, that's the first thing I want you to see. So, Sometimes a soul has got lost into hell. Are you hearing me? You yourself knew that this man has gone to hell. But now, you say, well, even though he has gone to hell, the thank God he left out of it. At least his money can be put in the gospel. Is that a correct dimension? That's the first thing I'm noting. The second thing I'm noting in that verse, which I want you to see quickly with me, Jesus said, a word that a man gives in exchange for his soul. Again, what does that mean, please? What does that mean? That a soul has no equal. Oh my God, are you going to me? That a soul has no worth equal. There is nothing worthy an exchange. May God give me understanding how to say what I want to say. You see, there was a time that Daniel money was so divine that when you take $1, you get about 1 million cedis. There was a time that Nigerian money was so valuable that 1 naira was exchanging for something like $2. Suddenly, the exchange rate changed. And $1 is going for 150 naira. Was too easy. The cost, no matter the exchange rate, was an exchange. Are we together? But we can always say, we should not have. We can not have a change for your soul. Everything put together, there's no excuse for a soul. There is nothing anybody can bring and take away in exchange for my soul, and it will be a good business. That's the second issue of evaluation. As far as Jesus is concerned, there is no exchange for a soul. There is nothing. It's what I'm dealing with in this second aspect is not about, it's not about value. It's not about price. The first thing he does with is, he does not gain the whole world. And this is the same thing, if we make profit, we know that's not a profit. That means, in terms of quantity, in terms of price of materials, none can buy a good. But now we are coming to the second point, that a soul has no exchange. In all the earth, and in all eternity, a soul has nothing with which to exchange it. Brothers, sisters, if I go this way, and I said, please, in the world of Nigeria, this victory is damaged. In the world of Nigeria, nobody can repair it. And there is no spare part with which you can exchange it. And I think it is damaged. The only place you could get it would be in Australia. How will you work that particular equipment? Talk to me, please. Now, because you know that if anything goes wrong with this now, no mechanics, no repair, nowhere to get any spare. And if I tell you with that, you are going to work. And he's taking a board, a digital recorder, from years ago. I came to say, I tell you what. I am coming from, I don't know where I travel, and I landed in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. And I was going, and I went to this house, and I saw compact digital recorder. It was audio that way. It was something different from radio cassette. It is not chrome cassette. It was digital recorder. If you cut like this, it will fit it to you. If somebody is sitting there and I'm here, it will enter me. The other thing was, it came with remote control. And the tape is a digital kind of tape. You just put it in with one button. When I brought it over, me and my wife, did you not celebrate? He said, this thing has solved the problem of recording. Ah, it was wonderful. I carried it like egg. The first challenge I had when all the tapes I bought finished. I sent all those back. We went to Alaba Market, we went to Nissan Market, we went to any market, electronic market. When they look at me, they say, they've never seen this before. It has not come to Nigeria. It has not come to Nigeria. My God. I declare that the only place you could get this market to be replaced or to be bought. I have to go back to Anta. How did I handle that thing? Oh, did I record any useless thing with it? No way. The only process of exposure is cutting, and because I know that once these tapes are finished, everything is finished. I was hoping that when I started again, I will get Amsterdam again. Can you imagine me buying an equipment that if I just want to buy a tape, and each of these tapes, they will record 60 minutes, the longest recorded 90 minutes. And me, in those days, I don't think I changed it, right? I took minimum of 5 hours at a go. Where are you going to get me tape to use my recorder? Unfortunately, I got to this. Hallelujah. Yeah. When we got, I got to Amsterdam, I went early to the church. He looked at the story. This particular mode, this model has been canceled. Nothing to repair it, nothing to download it, nothing. You can handle it. But can I tell you a problem? There is no experience for a joke. there is no excuse for his fall. Which I'm not saying there are no exchange for souls. That's what I said though. The Bible says there is no exchange for a soul. What does that mean? If there are 20 souls in your congregation, are you getting me? And they are sitting side by side, may I inform you that each soul has no exchange. The future of a soul does not exist for you seeing God. And I want you to listen to it and depend on your Bible knowledge. In Luke 15, Jesus said a parable, he said, a man has 100 sheep. One was lost. What did he do? He left the 99 up. Let me ask you a question. Not what I was speaking, you got with me. How could you leave 99? If one greater than 99, let me tell you. In the valuation of the method for soul, 99 did better. Does not exchange the one that is lost. See, my God, you are not understanding. You know, one of the things that no person will ask them, he will just come again. All the people are coming. Let us see in front of you. All the people are coming. There is no exchange for those that are not coming. So he says, he will make my claim. And he will set priority on the one that is lost. Now I think, what is the reason for that lost season? What do we need my sinner to live around? He said, because my sinner is not equal to 100. And 99 that are here is not an equal exchange for this one that is lost. I don't know whether you are hearing that or not. What am I saying to you? Look at your husband. Your husband is not an exchange for you. Your husband, his value is great, but his value cannot exchange So for anyone coming as a Christian is a colossal loss. The 1,000 that did not get lost do not in any way convert the heart of God for the one that is lost. The reason is because it's not understood. So when the word of God says, "Let me, son of man, I have set him as a watchman over Israel." You know what is talking about, and I want you to hear me deeply. Why would God say that tells you to warn his human and you do nothing? What of the other righteous people that have been speaking to and they are changed and they are standing with God? What is he going to hold you to answer for one? The reason is because that one. 99 is not expressed. May the Lord give you understanding. May I inform you what is the value of sugar to pass over your soul? That was one passage I read. But another passage that makes me afraid of his valuation of soul and is making me to ask, have I got a correct understanding of the value of what I have been asked to work? If it was a well-paper basket that I told Mama to work, and I said, "Mama, you give to me trust, we will make you responsible." She may look at it and say, "It's okay. These things are not tied me down. Let me follow my husband to that restaurant." And they go. When they come back, my well-paper basket is left. I say, "Mama, what did you give me that to?" Is that why you are talking? Give me 5 minutes. I will replace you. Even with a better life. I can just send somebody to market. Buy me 2 of that. And do the regulator that is first price. No problem. If it was a brand new laptop, then another 50,000 came and I got 50. And she went away and somebody carried it. I said, "Mama, you are not going back home. You know, I told you this picture. 400,000. The other 150,000 I put on top of it. We need it. And transport money to go to where we bought it. So we consult with my love this time. They will look left and right. Painful, painful, painful." So, well, if they are trying to be difficult, we write them a check. 500,000. You can write a check. How much do you write to cover your life? The whole world cannot buy it. Even if you have the whole world, there is no exchange. There's a difference from I don't have money to buy. There's a difference from I have plenty of money to buy, but I cannot see what to buy. That's not the problem. Now, but the next thing that touches me about the value Jesus based upon is that he does not value people at our age and physical status. I want you to be watching this matter. He does not value souls by their age or by their what? Social status. What do I mean? Jesus passed through one day, and some children were brought. You remember some women were bringing some children, but Jesus would lay hands on them. You remember? What did the senior man of God, Peter, and the apostle, what did they do? He said, go, Jesus, get your account for every child of, no, get your account for babies. He said, no, we don't need children here. They are not here. Put them on the street. Because to them, the value to others. Not like you. Do you give that person in our church today? So Jesus Christ did that time. And so, don't forget them to come because as fast as the kingdom of God. You know, keep the church. But the very man, we put a judgment there on the part of this little child who believes in me. Listen now, if you are better, you are not hearing. If you are better, that a healthy millstone will be tied on his neck and he will be thrown into the sea so that he will never flow. For doing what? Excuse me, for doing what? For only thinking a little child. Does a little child have such a value before God? Huh? Answer that. Just that. People when sometimes we are doing statistics, like those people that counted those that ate food. They say we counted 5,000 men, we didn't count women and children. Do you know that that is the normal bias of the wrong valuation? Huh? They value men more than women. They value women and men than what? And children. But the wrong valuation is different. Do you know why? That little child, which is not a soul, the soul of that child is invaluable, has no extent, and as however, the soul of a big man is more valuable than the soul of this small child, goes into the grace of heaven. When God will be telling you as well, telling you, make a mistake. How does he value this? He doesn't value them by their weakness. It's wonderful that even though I'm telling you that, hey, some of us here, we don't really care for souls, we don't care for souls. It's not so, it's not true, some of us, we really care for souls, though. But which one do we care for? Big souls. Those big people with coins, silver coins in their mouth. If you hear that he was 15 like this, you call him 25. First, I just want to check on your brain. In our pastorate meeting this morning, we have just been praying for you. So I will just come and see you. There are some meetings that I'm calling other people to come and check you. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God will help us. You are still valuable to die now. You will not die. You will not die. You will be. You will be. I bind the spirit of pain. How can you do that? You are the backbone of this ministry. You are the one that God has used to give us meaning in this ministry. God, hallelujah. I know you value some things like that. It's you, brother. The value that God makes it and calls. It's not about their spiritual consistency. It's not about their substance. It's just because they are a soul. So you are surprised that Jesus went and told the story because he was dealing with the value of a soul. Of the weak man and Lazarus. You remember that story? And he painted the story of the Lazarus that nobody would move the room at all. Unfortunately, when they died, angels came and carried the Lazarus. I know, and I don't know. What do they call them now? You know, those undertakers, and our Goku, they came and carried the big man. They were throwing his cross, dancing with him, taking photographs with him. He lied in space for about 24 hours. Everybody was there. You have no value before God. In fact, when you go to eternity, even a single drop of water, you will not qualify for. Have you ever said this? You, in your lifetime, you have eaten all your goods. There was not even a single drop of water left here for you. This man, no value in eternity. What is the value of the soul that God has put in our hands? Their valuation does not depend on their spiritual position. So I want you to be thinking differently. Be looking at the way you are watching the soul. Be looking at the way you are discussing the ministry. Be looking at what you are doing, particularly about the man that God has put on you. Aren't you so passionate? Running around from big guns. They occupy you. Even if they gave you 24 hour notice that there is a barrier of their own to somewhere that you are the one to fix, you can't fix every other engagement. Your prayers are waiting to be fired. Because your value for soul is wrong. Keep up your value soul. Continue to remind me. But it does not look at the way you look. If you need to look at yourself, one widow woman was it that nobody would have given attention. Jesus sat there and watched her and singled her out. How did you do that before? You know, I'm telling you, his valuation of soul is completely independent of what those folks used to do, their terrible sin, does not devalue a soul in the past. Please tell me, brother. Do you know how sometimes some rough boys come into church with their own papa and the awareness comes around. And the strength actually we have to tell us, just in the doesn't matter. It's a choice for different people. Do you know that those that don't have good dress to wear is our country? We can make their lives useless. That they will not have. Because to us, they are looking for different dress. Now look at this. If this is not the house of one man called Simon, all these people will have been leading from the word of God and the children of the Bible. This was a new chapter of God. When we went into this house, there was this good man, Simon, who invited Jesus for a dinner. And the man must have been so overwhelmed with himself. But there was this woman, whom everybody called a terrible sinner, who noticed that Jesus had come. And she came. And she couldn't afford water to wash Jesus' feet. So she used her tears. She was weeping and batting the feet of Jesus with her tears and weeping her head to him. And Simon sat on the table with some of his friends and said, look at this. If this man was a prophet, if he had known that this is one of these this is one of these useless humanity prophets. If not that this Jesus came and all these kind of people are following him here, can you allow this kind of person to enter? So while he was talking, Jesus who knew his heart. So Simon, I have a question for you. When I came here, you did not give me water to wash my feet. You did not give me oil to rub my feet. No prayer to clean my hand. But see this man, did I say? He has not thought. And why was Jesus outlining such a soul that could have been a dropout? Because the valuation of souls. Many times we value people because of where they are. Some of us, because maybe you came from a different background and maybe you are not a terrible sinner according to you. You thought you are more valuable to God. But they are dead, their life has been lost. We looked at them as a sin. It affects our outreach to them. And it's in us. Give that woman a space. That woman became a disciple and followed. And Jesus committed one that sin. Into their hands. So let's conclude on this note. What is the value of what we have been asked to work? The value of the soul. The final value of the soul that I've been presenting. Not only that he does not have an exchange. Not only that the Lord does not meet them according to their physical status, their educational attainment, or their age. He does not also even meet them by what the devil has done on their life. We have a terrible palace. Often today they think of her palace alone. Even though God has forgiven her long ago, they call her the palace. But see where God went and keep the palace. Where God put her? Where did God put her? Put her right in the genealogy of Jesus. As you read your Bible, you will notice that that Rahab was actually the mother of Boaz. That forgives Abel. That brought about Jacob. That forgives David. That brought about Jesus. God does not be afraid with their power. We value people generally with their power. We don't see a creature. God's value of a soul is about the eternal creature that lies with us. How can you finish a soul that God has not finished it? The fact that you don't have understanding of the right time. Can we please to have faith? Because we're going to pray and we're going to go and be alone with God this morning. And we have done the other battle that the soul that I saw in the life and understanding of the Lord Jesus that makes me to watch and to look at them all the time is that you see every soul qualified to collect his own precious life. Did you hear me? Jesus is the nation of his soul. He says that he says, if I die to serve this one soul, it's not a waste. Are we together? So what did you notice? Jesus was in a very long, highly profound protocol. He was moving. People were with him. When he saw that here, and the two, one soul that everybody was going to tell them in the useless man. Without the letter, what, one that people's money are forgetting, getting them punished. But because Jesus does not value souls in the land of their past atrocities, how does he value souls? We value them in the light of their eternal future. He surrendered what he was doing. He said, today, I'm going to sleep in their house. When it is time when you are not close to deal with, how do we dispatch this ministry as those who will give account? We'll be looking at the diligence of the kind of ministry we must discharge at God's power. And thank Jesus, he left everything. And he went and dwelt in the house of a man that everybody called a sinner. And he said, give this now, this has come to your house. Why did Jesus do that? Maybe to show me that, listen, there is no. If a soul needs to be saved, and the only way to get him to save him is to go and sleep in his house, no matter how big we are, it works. Jesus is not the power, and he went and left in the house of Zacchaeus, just to take him from that. Do we value sound? As for you to make our own value for them. But the value I see Jesus is not for his soul. If you have this soul, that if I die for this one, it's okay. If it is for this one, then I find all the way to this gate. And he said, because, what are you here for? I say, I'm not here for the maximum, I have no problem. I just came to see this one still. Look at how many disciples that Jesus chose. Who believed? When he resurrected, they were jubilated. There was a Thomas that said, unless I see, I will not believe. What did Jesus do? Talk to me. He came to me. He has already gone. He has already breathed upon them. But the Lord appeared unto you as a power coming into the world, say, send out. Then there was this thing that said, unless I put my hand in his finger, I will not believe. And for his sake, the Lord of resurrection came back. And when he met them, to be sure that he didn't come for everybody, just came for this one man who needed to be helped. The young man came out. Said, now, reach out your hand here. The young man put it. Bring your hand here. Bring your hand here. Bring your hand here. Are you now satisfied? The young man said, I said, my Lord and my God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What does he mean? You find it, and 20 have already believed. What does he say? If they die, don't tell us. Does not believe. The thing we do, the glory of Jesus, but that's not how we think. He came for one man. He went everywhere for that one man. And when I tell you, when I began to understand the value of his soul, it became clear to me that God can send you back all from here and here across the river. Send you to the jungle of Cameroon just to rescue your soul. When it comes to winning a soul, Jesus does not count how much. But can I inform you? Your highest battle is not evangelism. You must work to think and work to pass your body. The highest battle is not about saying. The highest percentage of your person is not mission. So that's something else. That's so for that. As you say with me, God, I don't want to stop without bringing you to the last point. And the last point will be where I will ask you to write. You will carry your chair and you will be alone and satisfied. I write again and again from the Word of God. And I see that though he talks with our souls every week, the first soul, the first critical soul, that must not be lost. It's your soul. I away to God. So when you read the word of God again and again, he told Timothy, take it to your heart and to do things beyond you. In doing this, you will both fulfill your power and get things beyond you. But of course, as the younger brother is, you know what he said? He said, I am fighting up a different way. I put my body under protection, yet after I have caught many others, I myself must be ordered, disqualified, and say, stand apart. May I ask a very simple question? How is your soul? If your soul presently seeks for heaven, you know the career of a teacher is that nobody confronts our own soul. Nobody will never say, did you have your power come to God? Nobody is available actually to ask you, are you living right with God? The higher you go, the more isolated you are up there. If you don't look for people to live into your life, nobody does. If your soul for laughter, are there issues? Dealing with your inner man, your soul, that if Jesus was not intervening, you might be among the many that Jesus spoke about, say, in that day. To go about accountability. Nothing shall stay unto me. In your name, we did work. In your name, we prophesied. In your name, we performed miracles. And you will say, depart from me. O ye workers of iniquity, I will never know you. Those people that we say, I will say, these are people who preach. These are people who perform miracles. These are people who do many great works. Build cathedrals. If you come and pass me, and I see big buildings. And when I come here and I see the way you are building this thing, I keep reminding myself of all these things. You are forget. Can't have done any of your life. Is my soul fit for heaven? Let's talk together. Are you struggling with some secrets? Don't see yourself value your soul. What are you planning to exchange your soul with? Do you think intimacy is a correct exchange for your soul? Please talk to me. Do you imagine that popularity, hey, is a preacher here, is the man of God here, is the bishop here, is not an exchange for your eternal soul? Get all the cars. Pay for the value of your own soul. As we call on God together, may I request this money. The next 31 people. If it has no sense, if there is nowhere to return it, I come from the peace of the Lord. And it is the soul that is crying that once the time is up, nothing can be done about it again than to face the vanity. And we pray unto God, may I not be left inside the limits. May I not meet my own way while I'm seeing other people their way. May I, oh God, not be a meter, even though I deem everything else that people can talk about. Father, the condition of my soul. And have you devalued praise of men? Have you thrown away people? Such by heaven says, if you are better, we put a heavy stone on your neck and put you in that water. Because you are treated like a soul that God has saved. I believe this morning was an opportunity to make things right. Opportunity to say to God, give me another chance. I believe that yes, even though some people are gone, and we cannot bring them back, we can tell God, Lord, give me another chance to make this right. Would you like to please pray with me? We will pray for 2-3 minutes, then you will take your chair and go and be anywhere inside the hall, under the tree. Thank God it's not raining. So if you know we go for the next few minutes and such pieces and such places. Let me just add this moment. But as we begin to deal with watching for the sake of you, the watchman will not be effective if he is ignorant of the value of the object he has asked to watch. He will not be so careful if he thinks the value of what he's watching is not worth dying for. He thinks even if it is worth, I can refuse it. But these stories that we are placing before us, they are the ones invaluable for us. Irreplaceable, no exchange. We have wrongly measured men. We measure them by their age, we measure them by their status, we measure them with thought that they are more important because they look important in the world. And I ask you this morning, forgive us. Give us another chance. Another time to do it right. In the name of Jesus. As we will break out, O God, to God, speak your faith. Will you please reach out to us this morning? Will you please address our inner man? Create something inside of us that will change our attitude onto our core and onto our ultimate. But I pray that it will come vividly in our habits, very vividly in our individual habits. The 20, the 30, the 1,000 souls, that they are not just numbers. They are irreplaceable, inexchangeable souls. That 900 cannot make do with the 100 that is lost. Because they don't replace. It can't stand on its own. Only God will you draw it for us and cut our soul. Thank you, Father. before we will conclude this prayer, brothers and God's servants. Well, in the presence of the Lord, we see our rights and our safety. We understand what we have done over the years. But he has provided this altar this morning as a place where we can reconcile, where we can make things right and say, Lord, I didn't understand this. I have distracted my life, my ministry, the way I find it convenient. I gave attention to those who have money. I discovered those who did not give. I ran with you and preoccupied myself with them. Neglected the cry of those that needed me most because I did not value them. Lord, have mercy on me. Or if it has even inside me your soul, you have had serious struggle to the power of sin. For with Jesus, who died on the cross, he will say, you are so valuable that I died for you. I can't give you this away. And the Lord is providing this altar this month. Where you can say, have mercy on me. And I please request that those that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart already. Until you are the first soul to be helped. You are the first soul to be delivered. You are the first soul to be recovered. You are the first soul to be set loose. And you say, Lord, let me not leave this altar. Can I request you just to raise your altar? And say, Lord, cut my heart. Even if it's very good to you, God is saying, keep another altar to make things happen. If the vessel gives you put a stumbling block on your little tongue, if you are better as you are now than to face the kind of judgment, and you are looking back and say, Lord, let me lose from this. Please raise your hand above your head. Let this altar be a place of divine visitation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did you unconsciously give your opportunity? Unconsciously to become or to put aside a younger life that you have been given. You thought it was a hindrance to you and you want to get rid of him. You forgot that you are getting rid of an indestructible soul. The person is struggling somewhere, but God is saying, I can forgive you today. I can forgive you today. The other day we were in the meeting and a young man cried, can the one who murdered my wife? Can God forgive me? We thought, yes, God can forgive because God does not value you with your past alone. He looks at what you can become. This morning is only those who cannot confess that God may not. But if there's someone said, Lord, take my life today. Give me a new chance. God will overlook the past. God bless you. As you raise your hand above your head, please stand on your feet. Let's stand together in prayer. Let this morning be a matter. A day that will come. Let this altar. Let this end this day. When we started in the morning and God was saying, ministering with accountability in view, we could see what it means. For this day, God is saying, an altar again has been provided. Where the atonement with the activators, the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I bless some of us that it's just because of your own immoral life that a young girl has not become derailed as she's now speaking about with so many, many men. Because so if a pastor violated me, what else am I teaching? We don't know where that soul is now. But God is demanding. We will cry and say, Lord, help me to recover that girl. But as you confess before God to you, I say, Lord, let this altar end this. I didn't know the gravity of what I did. Have mercy on me. Thank you. God bless you. Let me request that we will just walk towards the altar together. And I'm going to ask the pastor, like, please come with me. Please come. Please come. Please come. Come to this place. My brother, come. My sister, come. Let this altar be the end of this matter. Some children have been damaged. Some young people that will have been great for this cause. Some are excommunicated just to get rid of them because they are the one who opposed you at the time. The Lord is saying, I could see cleansing. I can see giving you the thing. I can see doing new thing for you. I can do it. God bless you. Sometimes you know as a man of God, we took the advantage of the vulnerability of numbers. When you began to see the level of immorality that goes on in the ministry, you say, how does this happen? Because the people will not resist us. They believe that you are a man of God. Please don't hide it. Bring it before the altar. Let's soak it under the blood this morning. Let's soak it under the blood. You might think, well, it was one thing, but it has given room to so many, many misbehaviors in the life of those people. They have concluded that the ministry is not useful. We must correct it. God bless you. Thank you. Just come before the Lord.